say that my English is my second language, and if you understand anything, it's because of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell that my message was good. Give glory to God. Second, I want to thank my dear Pastor Joel. And there would be another man coming second service who also influenced my life. And during my message, I will be sharing a lot about, you know, the influences of a godly man. The message I titled this morning is called "When the Son of Man Comes, Will He Find Faith?" from Luke 18, verse 8. It's a great question that Jesus puts out to his disciples after he taught about praying fervently. And it seemed like he wanted to plant this idea that his second coming would be in a time there no one's going to believe. Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, he kind of said that during the last days, people will mock the idea of coming of God. And unfortunately, we all face this reality. We live this prophetic word out right now, the generation that I'm a part of, and my children and your grandchildren, you know, they already have this, you know, kind of spiritual denial of God, not in a sense of sinfulness, but really the ideas were planted already. So it's kind of a really critical timing, and, you know, we hope that the second coming, well, we hope for two events, right? The rapture of the church, which is the meeting Jesus Christ in the clouds before the great tribulation, and then we pray for second coming, that his kingdom comes, and finally, the whole world sees the glory of our Lord. Amen? That's something that I would want to kind of impart to you this morning, is just to talk about the reality of our faith. And, you know, I understand I'm preaching to the choir here. I mean, it's something that was on my heart. There are three messages that I prayed about, and this is the one that I'm, you know, sharing this with you this morning. So I'm going to talk about faith and its characteristics, and then I'm going to talk about the hearers, listeners, and disciples, and then developing the faith of the disciples. So there are three things that I will share with you. And would you pray with me before we go into the study? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to stand in this on this platform where my dear pastor stands every Sunday. And thank you so much for just giving us the same spirit, the same joy, the same love for you, Lord. And out of our love for you, I want to share your word with you, with your people. And I pray that out of love for you, we will receive this word. That everything we say and do, it's because we love you. It's because you did something very special for us, that you changed our lives from sinfulness into your glory. And that's what we pray, that your word will affect us this morning, and we will be refreshed and renewed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, faith in its characteristics. You know, we all know that we are human beings created by God. And unfortunately, like I said, you know, there is a whole generation of young men and women who don't even have this understanding. That breaks my heart. You know, in St. Petersburg, I actually started a ministry that affects, you know, several, you know, over the period of time, we affected quite a lot of teenagers. And we put English camp for them. And during the English camp, we shared a biblical worldview. And we had it for probably about 10 years. And we have about, each year we have about between 60 and 100 kids showing up. And we try to really influence the lives. And out of that crowd, we have, you know, smaller crowd that comes every month. And hear the, you know, biblical worldview. And then out of that crowd, we have even smaller crowd to disciple them every week. We have this like teenage. So we, you know, churches in St. Pete, they're quite small. And we try to work together with different churches. This is my heart. This is where Joel's heart was when he was in Russia. He realized, you know, the isolation is not really a great idea. And we worked with so many different ministries and churches, and we partnered. And I love that vision that the body of Christ, it's actually so many different members. Of course, we're very careful with the doctrinal issues. We don't play those games. But those who are the same heart, the same spirit, we join strengths together and we're going forward. So faith is something that is planted by God. This is the difference between us human beings and the rest of the animal world, right? We don't see dogs, you know, proclaiming their faith. We don't see any other animals do this kind of spiritual things. We just see that the only, you know, only human beings can proclaim and be spiritual. So that's the confirmation that we are different from all the designs. And faith was designed by God for specific reason. You know, the Bible tells us, the Word of God, Hebrews 11, tells us that the faith is something that we recognize the presence of God in our life, right? And also in Romans, it says that the gospel is preached to creation. So when people see the beauty of creation, and here in the area of Seattle, and we drove from California to Seattle, and Aline and I, we were blown away by the beauty of the United States, the West Coast. I mean, we have a huge country, but unfortunately, our government didn't bother to build good roads. So we believe that our country is wonderful and the nature is great, but we don't really partake in that. But here, you know, we drove from south to north, and we were like, this is amazing. We wanted to stop and worship Jesus by each tree, but, you know, it's not spiritual, so we didn't do that. But it was beautiful. And yesterday we had the most amazing day of this weather changes all the time, the rain, the hail, the sunshine, I mean, all together Seattle thing. And we were in the downtown Seattle, and we were just blown away. It's like so beautiful. And then the thunder. Did you hear the thunder? Did you hear that? It was just one thing. That was great. So anyway, we were so overwhelmed. And the Lord really gives us, you know, I didn't see, you know, birds saying, oh, praise the Lord. But my wife and I and my other pastor, Walt, we were there and we just lifted our hands and said, praise the Lord. The thunder, and we just praised the Lord. It was awesome. It was just kind of a spiritual uplifting, you know. So faith is something that is so important. But we also know that faith is not, you know, it has different applications. The root word of faith comes from Hebrew root, amen. You know that. It comes from the Hebrew root, the word amen. And we know that amen stands for firm, it stands for sure, it stands for the truth. So when a person really has a good kind of faith, it grounds him in the truth. But if a person has a different kind of faith, which we know it's quite real, you know, twisted faith, ungodly faith, it's believing in the wrong things, but they also believe, you know, it's a real strong foundation for them, and they're going to fight for that. And more people have this twisted faith, the more strife they have. That's what the Bible tells us, and that's the kind of life they have. It's like the wrong faith brings wrong results, right? So we see that faith is not just the characteristic, it's also the what it has effect on somebody's life. And the Bible teaches us there are two kinds of faith. One is ungodly, and one is the godly faith. And godly faith comes from Romans 10, from 10:17, one of the verses that I learned from Joel when I was a young Christian. Romans 10:17, faith comes from the hearing, and the hearing is from the Word of God. And that's an amazing experience that I think most of us have. If any one of you never heard God's voice, the bad news is you need to kind of question your relationship with God. But if you hear God's voice, it's a confirmation. Jesus said the Spirit of God moves everywhere He wants, and He speaks everywhere He wants, right? In John chapter 3. The Spirit of God moves, and He brings the Word of God into people's lives. That's the desire of our God, to give the right kind of faith, because He knows that we're all born with twisted faith. We're all born in this kind of our environment where the fool says in his heart there is no God. Education says there is no God. you know, we set our mind, like, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm kind of responsible for my life. And we have that feeling like we're playing our own little gods. And when we get the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, and he stops us, and he says, hey, brother. Well, maybe he doesn't say brother. Maybe he says sister. Maybe he says, hey, fool. Don't fool yourself. There is God Almighty, and you're going to stand before him. That's when the true faith starts to work in your life. The voice of God. And we see it, you know, every time we read the Old Testament. It's like God started to speak to Abraham. He started to speak to Moses. He started to speak to Noah. And all of the rest of the people who are mentioned in the Bible, they didn't wake up one day and said, now I believe in God. Only after God spoke to them. Life has changed. They started to have focus. They started to have mission. They started to have purpose. So faith that God gives brings a lot into our life. Isn't that true? Without that kind of faith, we were fooled by Satan himself, who convinced the mankind that we're all gods. We were raised in this mentality that somehow we can do all things, and somehow we can change the world. Yesterday we went to one of the most amazing experiences in Seattle, Boeing Factory. How many of you ever visited that? The largest thing on the planet. That really blew my mind, started with one question. I don't remember the name of the engineer, and I don't remember the name of the guy who came to that engineer. But somebody came to the engineer and asked, can you build a plane that never existed? And the guy said, sure. And he started drawing the ideas and designs of the plane on a napkin. While he was doing that, he had an idea to collect 50,000 people and start this whole process, building the factory on the ground, that, you know, just on the plain ground. And within 4 years, they accomplished the goal. It blew my mind. Man can do a lot. If the idea inspires you, you can do a lot of things. You can accomplish a lot of things. And that's how God designed us. But he designed us for a specific purpose. And that's what we're going to talk about it in my next point. So point number one, faith is really important, but it can be twisted. And it can be born in us by the word of God. Point number two, hearers, listeners, and disciples. James 1:22-25. I'm going to read this to you. It's one of the first books that Pastor Walt had us to teach. And I remember, you know, we sitting together in his apartment in St. Petersburg, and Joel taught us how to teach the Bible. It was really amazing. He taught me how to teach chapter 4. And I taught. And it worked out pretty well. Thank you, Joel. So in chapter 1 of James, verses 22-25, it says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 22. For if anyone hears the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Again, verse 25 is the key verse, right? But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I like that. I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. So there is an exhortation and a calling for each one of us. Well, let's just think about listeners and hearers and doers. Pretty obvious, right? Listeners, well, hearers are the ones who come to church, or they hear the gospel and they completely forget what it's all about. They just don't care about the word of God. They're just hearers. Jesus mentioned it in the proverb about the sower, right? There's the one who sows the seeds, and you know, there are four kinds of soils. So listeners are those who, hearers are those who just dismiss the word of God immediately. They just don't care. Satan just, you know, convinced their minds that, you know, they're gods for themselves. But then we have another group of people that can be really difficult to deal with. Most of them, they actually end up in churches, and they're listeners. You know, the spirit of Roman Empire and the spirit of today's world, it's a spirit of entertainment. We love to be entertained. And many people come to church just to get that feeling of entertainment. They're really listeners. They even talk about the Word of God. They come and they enjoy to be in the crowd of people who talk about the Word of God. And you think they're really spiritual men and women. But they just entertain themselves. And how we, what's the difference between the ones who entertain themselves with the Word of God and the ones who actually disciples? It's by the fruit. We know the reality of their spiritual life, not from the words that they say, but the fruit that they bear. And the Word of God is two-edged sword, amazing instrument that cuts through everything. We cannot fool our God. Amen? It's impossible. You can fool everybody else but God. And when He starts dealing with our lives, all this crappy stuff will come eventually. And He will bring us into the trials and in tribulations. The Bible teaches us, I mean, listen to this. This is really cool. I don't know if it's cool for you, but those who want to live godly, they will suffer what? They'll have blessed life beyond you can imagine, right? That's what some gospel preachers tell us. They tell us that God loves you that much that everything is taken care of, your finances, your health, your future. I mean, everything is like wonderful. And I can picture this guy, his name is Joel, but not Kurtley. And he's on television and he says, you know what? If you really trust in Jesus, your life will so, Jesus has so much for you. He loves you. All you need is just to come to Him, and He's going to give it to you. Don't you love that kind of stuff? There is no repentance. There is no reality that you come not to Jesus Christ, but you come to the Holy God. And you cannot come to the Holy God just to be happy. You come to the presence in the Holy God to be humble, to be broken, to recognize that He is the Almighty God who stretched out His arms and has welcome, come everyone who is thirsty, who is hungry, who is weary, and I'll give you rest. But you recognize who you are. You don't come for happiness. You come for reality of eternity. That's the difference. Because, you know, the gospel that is preached for today, it's not the eternal gospel that was taught to us by apostles. And the one who wants to live godly, we have a really difficult message from God. How many of you like to be losers here? That's Jesus' calling for us, right? True disciples are the ones who lost everything for His own, for His sake and for the sake of the kingdom. It's a gospel for losers. That's why many in the first century believed Jesus, and they were not noble people. They were slaves and, you know, those who were outcasts. But they believed in the eternal kingdom, and they thought, okay, if we have any chance to glorify God, we'll do it. We will follow our Lord. That's what it's all about. It's really considering who we are in the eyes of God and just give it all to Him. It's really difficult. And that's the difference between listeners, those who entertain themselves with ideas of the gospel, and disciples. Disciples are the ones who counted the cost and they said, it's worth it. Eternity is worth it. I am fighting a good fight for the eternal souls, for the eternal kingdom. That's where I want to be. Because eventually we'll all be there, right? Whether at the right hand of our Lord or among the outcasts. So be careful. Don't entertain yourself with the spiritual things. It's dangerous. In fact, I'm going to finish with this. Point number three, developing faith of the disciples. And I'm going to take it to Hebrews 13, 7 to 9. And that's when Joel and Walt comes in. I wanted to really, you know, tie this into testimony and things like that. Chapter 13, it's a really cool exhortation. We start with verse 7 and then read verse 8 and 9. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the eternal one. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart to be established by grace, not with foods that have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And I want to stop here. In order to develop the life of the disciple and the faith of the disciple, you need to have somebody in front of you. You need to have examples. Well, picture me, 19-year-old, and I'm 45. So it was over 20 years ago when the Lord really spoke into my life. He brought me into repentance through the ministry of Calvary Chapel. And I didn't want to be just listener. I didn't want to come to fellowship and have fun. I came to church and the Lord really spoke to me about you dedicate your life fully. And I had a nickname. Do you remember my nickname?
Grace.
No.
It was one of them. Ilya was Law, you were Grace.
But there was another one that I really loved. They called me Dark Hair Demo, obviously, but then they called me Demo on Fire. Do you remember that? And the joke that you came, I never forget, it still hurts. He said, we called him Demon Fire, thinking when he's going to burn out. And I'm still burning, so praise the Lord for that. But it was really cool because, you know, the whole repentance and everything that the Lord started was so powerful that they didn't believe it's actually happening. They were thinking, like, they were really, and I don't blame them, okay? I love them, and no hurts, okay? It was a joke. But they did not believe that, you know, I was genuine, and I didn't believe myself. I was like, is it really happening? Because this is what happened, you know, I started reading the Bible all the time, and my mom, she thought, here we go, this guy is in the sect now. In the cult. I mean, she was totally messed up. She didn't know what to think. Then a few months later, I'm having the Bible study in my home, in my little apartment, and we have five Christians coming together, reading the Word of God, and she's like, what is going on? This, and here is my evangelist to my mom, and praise the Lord, she became believer, and now she's with the Lord. So, but here is what I taught her. I said, Mom, you know, God loves me that much that even if I kill you, He's going to forgive me. Can you imagine that? That's how on fire I was. Of course, I was not going to kill my mom, but I was blown away by the grace of God that all sins forgiven. And I mean, it's like, wow, this is a totally new concept of life for God. And because, you know, the guilt was not there anymore. I could kill anybody and no guilt. Of course, the Lord taught me how to be humble, how to be brokenhearted, and not to kill anybody. You know, even with my words. I mean, seriously, my tongue was not a pleasant tool of the Lord. My tongue was horrible. I condemned people in the congregation because they were not as holy as I thought they should. I mean, it was painful for them. And I'm glad that Walt, who's coming, and Joel, they persevered and they taught me how to love people properly, especially Joel. You have the most wonderful pastor. I'm not saying it because of, you know, all these things, but you know, if you know him, you know he's about love. He really is about love, loving people. I mean, look at his life. I mean, so many children. Not just physical, but spiritual. And oh, I mean, it's just mind-blowing that the heart of the Father in him is just amazing. So having good examples of people, this is so important, right? To have good examples of faith will help next generation to hold on. That's the reason why I'm, you know, so eager to reach out to younger people. Not because it's a cool thing. I'm not a cool guy anymore. You know, I thought I am, but I tried to talk to them and they're like, you're not cool anymore. So I have 25-year-old guy who is cooler than me, and he, you know, reaches out to them and he raps with them and everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool with me. I don't want to do that. But it's so important to set those examples of faith. And then he says, you know, this passage, it says, remember those who ruled over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, consider the outcome of the conduct. Jesus Christ is the eternal one. Do not be carried with various strange doctrines. You know, this is on my heart, because I believe this church, trained by my pastor, you guys have this specific calling to be this kind of a church that the doctrines are so balanced, so right, so truth. The, you know, the feeding, the spiritual food is prepared that you can really divide among the false things. And but you're not going to fight those things with fleshly fights. You're going to be those who fight the good fight of faith, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And that's the kind of disciples that, you know, people need to experience. They need to experience churches that have this kind of a commitment to the word of God and to each other, and to be this people of faith that, you know, that really affect the generations. And I want to finish with this. Can you all stand with me? Because you have 1 minute left. And I want to read this to you, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to your hearts and bring your applications. So it's not from me or anybody else, but from the Holy Spirit. In Romans 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are not one, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Amen. I want to leave you with this, because that's the true experience to be faithful disciple. You're not just coming to do things. You're coming to dwell together in unity. And that's what we experienced, you know, through ministry of Joel. He really taught us how to dwell in unity. That's why when we started a church down south, we didn't start a separated church. It was a beautiful extension. We kept relationship going. Pastor Boris, who taught you 6 months ago, me, we're still, you know, we're friends. We in the fellowship of love. We commune with one another. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ working together. And I know that Calvary Chapel Paulsbo in amazing hands. Not in the hands of Joel, but in the hands of God. But, you know, the servant that is here is just really special. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you bestowed your grace on us through Son Jesus. Thank you that you showed to us the eternal life. The gift that you gave us is so precious. And I pray that we will have deeper understanding of the richness of love, the richness of kindness, the richness of mercy, that you give us that faith that we may present our bodies to you, that we will not think highly or lowly about ourselves, but we will think faithfully, that we are faithful servants of Almighty God. Bless us, Father, and bless the congregation that is here. heal us all from the false things and strengthen us in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.